Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money and Me. I was just reading about a local bank's initiative to enable investors to buy and sell gold and silver, and how it's seen $1 million worth of precious metals traded since October 25th. You know, and it's just 24th November. So that got me thinking about a precious metal portfolio. We know that precious metals are a good portfolio diversifier and a hedge against inflation. Gold, perhaps the best known such metal, but it's not the only one out there for investors. The silver, platinum, palladium, they're all commodities that can be added to your precious metals portfolio, each, of course, coming with its own unique risks and opportunities. So which precious metal is best for investment purposes? What are some ways you can buy into precious metals, and how can you best think through the nexus of choices for your precious metals portfolio? Those are some questions we hope to answer today. Indigo Precious Metals Group is a precious metals investment specialist. They were established in 2014. It was founded and is run by a leading metals expert, former investment banker and financial analyst, David J. Mitchell. He's CEO of Indigo Precious Metals Group and the Octus Metal Portfolios. Welcome, David. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle, and good morning to the listeners.
Great to have you with us on the show. I think many people are wondering if investing in a precious metals portfolio now can help if inflation and prices go even higher. Can you give us a sense of sort of the macroeconomic forces that make sense for us to start thinking of investing in a metals portfolio?
Of course. I think the listeners have to understand that every asset class has its day in the sun. Cycle analysis and the recognition of where we are within the macroeconomic cycle is essential. So where do we find ourselves today? This has been driven by the global debt crisis that has been driven to new highs. We are close to over 400% of debt to global GDP. And this has forced global governments into policy reactions that pushes us further and further into this particular cycle. Now, if we look at the commodity cycle or the commodity super cycle that we've analysed that we were entering in at the start of 2020, this has been driven by, one, the financialization of the last 10 or 15 years of investing into the stock markets and property, driven by 0% interest rate policy and money printing. And this has driven CapEx, capital expenditure, into the commodity sector to ridiculous lows. An underinvestment in the overall commodity sector. Now, as we move into the super cycle, which is driving, obviously, inflation. Inflation is driven by the monetary aggregate expansion of our governments. This has been a policy decision, not a policy mistake. They need to effectively debase our global currencies. So if you look at, for example, negative nominal yields, if you look at interest rates where they stand now versus real inflation or CPI calculated inflation, we're looking at negative nominal yields at 1970s levels. So we're moving into a commodity super cycle. World capital flows are moving into the commodity sector, driven by our government's move into global infrastructure spend outs, which is a decarbonization of energy production and pollution controls, which effectively start and end with metals. You can't do any of these infrastructure build outs without these specific metals, mm-hmm. but they have unique qualities on the periodical table. So you're looking at global capital flows into the commodity sector and particularly driven into the precious metal sector. We are facing a serious global macro event directly ahead of us. And again, this is public knowledge. The World Bank, IMF, IFF all talk about the situation that we face. Uniquely, gold is money. It's a monetary metal. So you have to analyze global capital flows, fiscal policies, real nominal interest rates or negative nominal interest rates as we stand today. But the other metals are at heart industrial metals. So when we analyze silver, for example, and mm-hmm. platinum and palladium, we have to have a great deal of research that examines where the industrial demand is coming from. What does the industrial global supply look like? Ore grade degradation, cost of production. And we have to examine all of these to recognize what an optimal portfolio is. A unique example of this is, where do we stand today as far as global capital investment flows, including pension funds and global fund managers? Historically, the investment into precious metals has been closer to roughly 2.5% of global capital. Today, that's closer to 0.3%. So simply a mean reversion, even towards 1.5%, would demand that global capital moves into this sector that's three times larger than today's capital investment into this particular sector. So just that alone would drive an enormous revaluation of metals. Then we've got the monetary debasement event that we have globally. This is not led by just the USA, this is led globally. And then we have the industrial demand for these metals, which has put an enormous acute pressure on the supply and demand picture. So price revaluations of these metals are simply irreversible at this stage of the game. And as a portfolio diversification, global fund managers and capital managers are recognizing this, from the largest hedge fund managers in the world to pension fund managers and high net worth individuals. So the listeners need to understand that cycles change, and they do historically, and you have to have a recognition of historical analysis to understand that the movement of capital flow into precious metals and the commodity sector itself is going to be extremely dynamic over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Very compelling and well thought through. Thank you very much for taking the time to take us through. I mean, myriad of factors there, but thank you for explaining some of them to us. I wonder, what sort of exposure to precious metals do you offer investors? Does IPM offer, David?
It's across the wide spectrum, actually. I mean, obviously, it covers the platinum group metals, which is platinum, palladium, rhodium, iridium, osmium, ruthenium, but also varying other rare earth metals, and then obviously the standard precious metals themselves, which is gold, silver, platinum, palladium. So what we do is we spend a great deal of time, because of our background, because of our research analysis, we spend a great deal of time with clients on a one-to-one basis, giving them an understanding of what a precious metal portfolio should look like in the first place, and also recognizing the products that they should be investing in, and recognizing what those premiums are for unencumbered metals. An unencumbered ownership of metals is essential in this particular part of the cycle. So what we do is we advise on the products, the premiums, what products are preferable, and also the actual selection of the actual metals themselves. Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it platinum? And what percentage of the pie should it be?
And have you seen an increase in interest, capital flows into precious metals portfolios since COVID-19? Can you give us a sense of how you've been doing so far?
Yeah, we're seeing a great deal of interest from wealth managers, fund managers, let's call it smart money. They understand that, one, the underinvestment within the commodity sector itself is extremely ripe for a particular very strong super cycle within the commodity sector. They recognize, or they're beginning to recognize, the supply-demand constraints on these particular precious metals themselves. And they also recognize that precious metals, or particularly gold, inflation hedge, yes, in the much longer term cycles of 10, 20, 30 years, it's an excellent inflation hedge. But this is not how we recognize gold. Gold is a crisis hedge. And we face a particular crisis ahead of us from an economic macro standpoint. And also we can actually, I could demonstrate quite clearly that gold today is cheaper than it was in 1971. In 1971, gold was $32, and today it's $1,800. The gold today is cheaper than it was in 1971. How on earth could I state that fact? If you look at monetary aggregate expansion, i.e. how much currency in circulation has expanded, if you measure that increase in currency circulation and divide it by the number of ounces of gold, you come to a ratio. And that ratio recognizes that gold today is extremely undervalued, believe it or not. I know some people believe $1,800 sounds a very lofty valuation, but that is simply not the case. And a revaluation of gold will be quite substantial. And look at global central banks. Global central banks have gone on a net buying spree of physical gold for their own reserve requirements and diversification of their own portfolios since 2010 into 2021. This is the largest buying spree we have seen since the 1960s. So I would suggest that there is large global capital flows that are moving, and a recognition of where this particular macro cycle is taking us.
All right. So you say you deem gold undervalued. Are there other metals that you see buying opportunities for, given, you know, your take on the macroeconomic cycle?
Platinum is incredibly undervalued. We recognized, for example, palladium, rhodium, and ruthenium, and iridium, which are all platinum group metals, are severely undervalued 4 or 5 years ago. For example, rhodium has moved 30 times. I mean, we was entering our clients into rhodium at $750 to $1,000 an ounce. And as of last year, it was trading at $30,000 an ounce. palladium has moved in that same time period roughly four times. Ruthenium has also done these same type of moves, 4 to 5 times in price. But platinum has lagged, and platinum has lagged for very particular reasons from the industrial side demand picture. But that has now significantly changed. The industrial demand for platinum is rising like a hockey stick, whereas on the other side of the coin, industrial production of platinum, i.e. the mine production, is falling. And it's falling quite hard, and ore-grade degradation in platinum is falling quite hard. Alongside that, you've obviously got the cost of energy. The cost of energy is extremely important because obviously that's a big dynamic of mine production. So platinum is incredibly undervalued. We're looking for a very significant revaluation over the next 3 or 4 years, driven by hydrogen and the new global push into hydrogen production for energy as a non-carbon energy production, and then pollution controls, obviously. So platinum is extremely undervalued. Silver is extremely undervalued. Now, I understand that investors have been highly frustrated over the last 5 years from silver. We've seen inflation begin to pick up quite aggressively, which again is a monetary phenomenon. If you measure monetary aggregate expansion, you recognize when inflation is going to start kicking in. Silver has its own particular cycles, and recognizing those particular cycles, if you analyze historical markets, which we obviously do, we go all the way back to the 1800s in our recognition of particular cycles. Silver is looking to start moving, I would suggest, very strongly from the industrial demand side and also from global capital flows from really 2022 into 2024, 2025. So again, a big revaluation of silver is coming.
Great insights for our investors. David J. Mitchell is my guest today. He's CEO of Indigo Precious Metals Group and the Auctus Metal Portfolios. David, what are some things you think our investors should understand about setting up a metals portfolio, whether it's fee considerations or constituents?
A recognition of where you're going to see the outperformance. I mean, obviously, a diversification in precious metals, it has now become essential. Firstly, you've got to recognize how big a percentage of your overall net worth do you want in precious metals.
It used to be, what, 5 to 15% we'd hear people talk about?
Money managers generally talk about 5 to 10% as the optimal weighting into precious metals. But that's correct, but correct in a normal economic cycle. This is not a normal economic cycle. We are moving into a very dramatic part of the macro cycle, and we're moving into a commodity super cycle.
How large an asset allocation are you seeing some investors seriously consider?
Well, you've got the largest and most successful fund managers on planet Earth that are moving to 20-25% of their overall portfolios into the overall precious metal sector. That doesn't just include physical, that obviously includes diversification into precious metal royalty plays, and mining groups, warrants, etc. But they are moving headlong into a very large diversification into the commodity sector, but particularly the precious metal sector. So from an individual standpoint, I think 10% is anemic. I would suggest a much greater weighting. If you look at property prices, they're built on the construct of increased debt leverage and increased monetary aggregate expansion and 0% interest rates and rising real net income to service that debt. That, I would suggest, is moving to unsustainability levels. Stock markets historically are at nosebleed levels. I'm not saying that stock markets are going to collapse. I'm not saying that because we are facing continued monetary aggregate expansion. But a recognition of where you're going to see the bang for your buck as a wealth diversification and portfolio wealth provider, you have to seriously look within this sector. And as I say, 10% is anemic. And then obviously come to speak to the guys at our companies. So when we spend a great deal of time producing white papers and research papers and analyzing the cycles within each metal, when to get in, when to get out, the sort of price objectives that we're looking at from a conservative nature, what are the bolting fees? I would suggest unencumbered metals. If you're going to invest in metals, that's essential for a number of reasons. Premiums on metals and recognizing not just getting into the trade in the first place, but what it's going to look getting out of the trade, because for every asset class, there is a time to buy and a time to sell. So we overlay that all to the client so they completely understand the bid-offer spreads, the bolting fee structures, or if they're going to take it home, where they're going to get the liquidity from, et cetera, et cetera. And metals are extremely liquid. As we move further into this cycle, into 2023, 2024, not only will metals rise, but the premiums on unencumbered metals will rise quite dramatically. There is only a finite amount of metals sitting around, and you've got a severe underinvestment of overall global capital into the sector. So as this global capital moves in, it will put enormous strain on the available metal that's available, and hence premiums will escalate.
Exciting opportunities. Yeah. Octus Metal Portfolios, I understand, deals with gold, silver, platinum, palladium, and rhodium. Can you take us behind the curtains and how have your metal portfolios been performing to date?
Yeah, we actively started Octus. I mean, we obviously worked with it for quite a number of years before we went live with it. We went live in the beginning of 2016. As of today, our clients are up roughly 9.5 times in revaluation. Mm-hmm. And that's net of bid offer spreads and vaulting fees. So that's quite a substantial return on investment, 850% or 9.5 times the original investment. But the thing is that moving forward, this becomes the very exciting part of the cycle between 2022 and 2024. This is where we enter the really exciting, dramatic, macro-driven and industrial supply-demand-driven part of the cycle. Octus is an active portfolio of metals. The clients hold their metals in their vaults, mm-hmm. but we actively rebalance the metals, recognizing pricing anomalies between metals and new trends that are developing in individual metals. With Indigo, yes, we advise clients on what they should be purchasing, but at the end of the day, it's a static holding. They take their metals and they put it in their vaults. They take it home with them, or they can go to the showroom and buy a few coins or a few bars, and we supply them with the analysis. But it's static. Octus is more designed for, look, you guys are the experts. I want physical metals. I want them in my vault, but I need to produce an alpha return over and above a static portfolio, which is we've been very successful in doing that over the last 5 or 6 years.
So gold has been down 4%. Bitcoin has outpaced gold year to date. The digital coin up 133%. So if you look at the divergence, does that call into question whether more investors are opting for cryptocurrencies versus gold as a hedge against rising inflation?
Cryptos, I mean, it's a lovely technology. Blockchain has huge benefits moving forward. It does have a great many headwinds against it, driven by actual policymakers and central banks. Gold, or should I say precious metals, alongside cryptos, are very similar assets, and I put them in the joint basket. Crypto is a highly volatile speculation. We see enormous volatility, you know, 20, 30, 40% moves in cryptos on a regular basis throughout the year is normal. Now, we've seen a big rise in crypto, but gold has been pretty static or a negative net performer this year in 2021. But recognize where you are in the cycle. Gold will start moving into an outperformance. Physical metals will move into an outperformance. So you need to understand what the drivers are and why. And this is what we spend a great deal of time explaining. And again, many investors and wealth fund managers prefer hard, unencumbered assets rather than, you know, investing in the digital realm. So they complement each other.
They can both coexist. Then they can serve different goals. Before we let you go, David, your final thoughts on how our investors listening in can best secure themselves to prepare for the next couple of years?
Yeah, an interesting statistic, which I think it falls deaf on investors' ears every year that I actually produce an article and state it. For the last 20 years on the trot, if you purchase precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, at the beginning of December, by the end of January, you've made substantial gains. In fact, there's only been 1 year in the last 20 years that failed, which was in 2014. For example, if you purchase silver in the beginning of December 2020, by January 2021, it had moved plus 28% net return. So as far as timing is concerned, this is optimal.
Mm.
Secondly, we face very dynamic macro trend changes that are driven on the global stage. This is going to start moving headlong into the supply-demand picture of metals. This will drive. I would suggest that the move higher in precious metals over the next 2 or 3 years is irreversible. It's simply irreversible. So it's time to start actively considering where you need to be as a portfolio diversifier.
Well, I'm glad we're speaking with you in November, David. Thank you so much for joining us. CEO of Indigo Precious Metals Group and Octus Metal Portfolios. David Mitchell. This is Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.